There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, where we go, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And a reminder for the new folks around here, phone number and the text line are the same digits. Maybe even put this in your contacts on the phone, because we do 56 hours a week of live local shows here every day of the week. Live people in the studio, local folks, local station, local people doing shows. And there's going to be something you want to chime in on the text or a phone call. So 251-343-0106. And you can use the TalkBack feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app to send us a message as well. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. This conversation got started, I guess, at the end of last week, but it's been official, but now it's, well, he can tell me, really official as of today. A bill being pre-filed here to stop mud dumping in Mobile Bay. That's the simplest way to say it. State Senator Chris Elliott joining us now. Good to talk to you. And Jeff Poor, I still have rights to get Senator Elliott on, so I just want to point that out. Hey.
Hey, man. Good to talk to you, too. This is the combination of politics and fishing and the bay.
That's
so,
right.
This is definitely a Sean Sullivan story if there ever was one.
Yeah, I live this stuff. Don't just report on it. So this has been something you have been vocal about. So many of us have, but you as an elected official have been vocal about the thin layer displacement that's been happening. And I guess we maybe, I don't know, do we need to go through the frequently asked questions at the beginning of this? I mean, you can say what your part. I've told people I'm all pro the port. I'm all pro the deep and widened ship channel. I'm for maintaining that ship channel. I'm for all those things. I just think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. For you, Senator,
well,
your take.
We absolutely can, and we should, right? There's a better way to do what the Corps is doing right now, and that's to use that material beneficially to restore wetlands, to restore coastlines that have eroded, or Sean, just to put it in a spoil island like Galliard Island, mm-hmm. and let the birds sit on top of it, right? But don't spray it on top of the bay and have that go all down through the water column and settle on whatever seagrass is there or oysters are there or in the middle of any of the fish. I mean, when you're fishing, you worry about water quality, right? You worry about what the tide's doing, you know, how clear the water is or isn't. I mean, all of those things matter. And so the method they're using right now is we can just do better. There's no question about it, and we should. The problem is we're not going to do better unless we make them do better. And that's what we're doing with this piece of legislation, is we're going to make them do better.
Yeah, I want to talk about how that happens. I do want to go back for a second and talk about, listen, you can do better because it's not unproven. It's not like you're asking them to invent the wheel again. This is already happening out there, other places, so they can do that. And it is a nuanced thing. Maybe this doesn't get discussed a lot, but we exist, our delta exists because of sediment. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's how this builds. This is how happens along the Mississippi River and the Alabama Tom Bigby system into the Mobile Delta. But it's like you have to eat some, and that's healthy. But if you eat tons, it's unhealthy. And that's what we're getting. I mean, there's always going to be some amount of sediment in our system, and it's a good thing. It's the Fertile Crescent, all that stuff. But we're piling on. I don't even have the stats in front of me, but I've had these conversations. The magnitudes of sediment we're putting into the bay versus what the natural system would do is, I'll use a tech term here, it's stupid.
Well, it is, and the problem is it's so large that it makes any of the other really kind of ecological activities that we're trying to do, right, the environmental friendly activities, it's like, you know, trying to put out a fire with a squirt gun, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're over here trying to make sure we don't have this runoff from this construction site, or we're over here trying to make sure, you know, we fix this environmental issue, yeah. And then we're over here dumping 90 million cubic yards of this stuff right back into the bay and into the water column, and it's just crazy. And so we cannot continue to do that and have a meaningful impact on the health of our bay if we don't go after the big culprit. And this is the big culprit. I mean, Sean, I'm sure all of your listeners and you have seen this up close. You've seen the videos. Mm-hmm. You have seen what this looks like. And there's no one with any common sense that can look at that and say, oh, yeah, this is a good thing for the environment. No, this is not good. And we need to stop it.
Okay, so you and Representative Marcus are if you get this bill to curtail the mud dumping. I asked you this off the air. I also asked this just like rhetorically, I guess, earlier in the show or last week. How can a state, how can something done in Montgomery get the Corps of Engineers, federal group, to do something? I mean, I know that Senator Britt had talked about maybe withholding funding for thin layer displacement before. I don't know where that's, but what can you do at a state level? What does something you say y'all pass through in Montgomery mean to the Corps of Engineers?
So great question. I had somebody on Facebook ask me the other day. They said, what took you so long? And Sean, in all honesty, I had to figure out how to do just that, right? To figure out how to get the state legislature in a position where we can dictate to the United States Army Corps of Engineers mm-hmm. what they can or cannot do with spoil material from dredging operations. And so what we came up with, and I'm glad you mentioned Representative Brett Marcus, he is a competent, capable, energetic legislator, and he's going to do a great job with this bill in the House. I can't wait. But what we came up with was something called the Coastal Management Program, the Alabama Coastal Management Program, which is where the feds have delegated a lot of their authority to DCNR, Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, and ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management. And basically, it requires that for any dredging activities and other activities as well, but for any dredging activities, that ADEM and DCNR essentially sign off on those dredge activities. And so that mechanism is already in place. Now, what are we doing at the state level? In this bill, that's only 2.5 pages long, by the way.
I like that.
We are directing ADEM and DCNR, both state agencies. We are directing them to define beneficial use and specifically what it's not. And then we're further telling them, just like Senator Britt did, that 70% of the material, the dredge material, has to be used for beneficial use. And, oh, by the way, it's this definition of beneficial use. And so that's how we're making the feds do what we want. Now, you mentioned Senator Britt putting some restrictions on it. She said 70% has to be beneficial use. You know what the Corps did? They turned around and said, hey, funny, we've decided that what we're doing is beneficial.
You caught that, too. And this is, I mean, I went on and on about this because the Corps had split the terms of beneficial use and thin layer displacement. And then at some point, I guess we get the eraser out and erase it, and then thin layer displacement also becomes beneficial use. I'm like, it's y'all's own words you're going against. I mean, that was pretty shocking. Against, I mean, that was an obvious, like, about-face.
It absolutely was. And that's when I went, okay, fine. That's enough being cute. We'll define it in state statute. And so that's exactly what we're doing. We're defining beneficial use as actual legitimate shoreline restoration projects. We're talking about marsh habitat, coastline restoration. We're talking about disposing of the material upland. I mean, listen, there's value in this material, make no mistake about it, but it's also a liability. And to that extent, the extent we need to just dispose of it, we need to build another island. I mean, you've been out and around and fished Gale Yard Island before. Mm-hmm. Let's do that again. I mean, I think Jimmy Lyons Island sounds great. Let's build another.
You know, I get in the weeds on this stuff so badly. You know, the proposal, this came out, what kind of got me paying attention to this, it was, Senator, maybe 5 years ago, a press release comes out about an island, or it's more like a wetlands complex that they were proposing doing. And yep. I started paying attention to it because for me, like, this is a problem with a problem. I didn't want it to be where they were talking about. I would like it to go further south to where there's not already grass beds. Let's make a new, because it's like a Gilligard Island, but I think it's going to be more intertidal, you know, instead of just being a barrier. I think it's a good idea. I didn't want it to be, let's go somewhere that it's deep enough and turbid enough that we don't have grasses growing. Put it there. I'm all for that. I mean, that improves, you know, nursery habitat for fish and crabs and shrimp and everything else out there. Gives us a place to hunt and fish and solves that problem. But they're still just, while they talked about that, they're still, I mean, the videos were out all summer. They're stopped right now, but they were just spraying and praying, man.
They absolutely were. And that's the problem. You and I have been around this estuary, around this bay, and fished it enough to know that that channel needs almost constant maintenance. I mean, they're stopped right now, but give it a couple months and they'll be right back at it. And that maintenance is why we need to pass this piece of legislation so that they don't continue to do this for the next, you know, however many decades. I mean, I don't want to look back at my kids and say, I didn't do anything when I could have. I'm really sorry, you know, buddy, and why you can't, you know, catch fish or there are no oysters anymore or anything else. There's just a better way to do this and a much more responsible way to do this. And I'll tell you this, too. Senator Britton has done amazing work. The Corps has the funding to do this the right way right now.
Yeah, this has been this has been the rub in the past. And we could, you know, also, you know, if you get into nuance on your bill, yeah, I would like the idea of, like, you know, there's different kind of dredge material. I mean, you know, from the south end of the channel that's very sandy to the silt, you know, that's further up. But I got this conversations with Mayor Collier way back when we were going, why can't they take the sand they're dredging out of the lower end of the channel and put that on Dolphin Island versus then having a storm come in and FEMA having to pay for sand to be put on Dolphin Island. It's like he said, Sean, they were locked into a lowest cost option. Or I may not have the right term, but the Corps had to, had some dictate that said for them taking it offshore was cheaper than them putting it on Dolphin Island, the sand down there. And I said, yeah, but a storm comes and the same federal government pays to put sand back on Dolphin Island. So why don't we just put it on Dolphin Island in the first place? And he said that they had to, but you're saying they have the ability to make the decision to do it differently.
They have the ability to do it. They have the funding to do it. And I'm confident in Senator Britt's continued appropriations prowess to make sure that that the Corps has the money to continue to dredge the ship channel and maintain the depth that the port needs and protect our environment at the same time. I have 100% confidence in her ability to do that. And not just because I think she's great. She's already done it. It's already there. And so we can continue to do that. Now, your points about different types of dredge material are exactly why we need different types of beneficial use projects, right? So in the upland portion of the bay, we need that marsh, that engineered marsh that they're absolutely talking about building. Then in the middle part of the bay, we need to have, frankly, a spoil disposal area like Gilliard Island, right? Jimmy Lyons Island. Mm-hmm. And then the last part of it is an offshore option. Is all of that continues to be available in this bill. As a matter of fact, a lot of those options are spelled out specifically. And so what we've done is we understand the project, we understand the differences in the project, and we've provided all of that optionality for the port and for the Corps of Engineers. What we're not saying is you can just spray it on top of the water and hope it doesn't hurt anything. We're saying you have to you know do something better than that.
Okay, and then my next question is, because it's a 67 counties and so many congressional and senatorial district game in Montgomery, how are you going to get the rest of them to listen? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it makes sense down here, but somebody from North Alabama or West Central, East Central, I mean, how do you convince them?
Well, see, there's the great thing, right? Because what does it matter to somebody in North Alabama? This bill is so narrowly drafted that it deals only with dredging activity south of I-10 in the coastal management plan, okay? And it deals only with projects over 1 million cubic yards in volume. It's this project and only.
Okay, it's like an RFP written for a certain company. This it only affects this one thing.
Those drive me nuts, by the way. But yes, that's exactly what it's like. And so it's written for this. And so what I'm going to do and what Representative Marcus is going to do is you can go to his colleagues and say, guys, this is important to me. It's not going to impact your district. It's not going to impact you. It's very important to me. And I would encourage your listeners to talk to other legislators around the state, especially, you know, if you're from Birmingham originally or you're from Huntsville originally or something like that, call your legislator from back home and tell them, hey, this is important to our area. I'm going to be doing the same thing, and I expect my colleagues to support me because why wouldn't they? right?
Senator, I ask that question all the time, though. So, I mean, sometimes I'm like, why can't they get other people on board? And, well, maybe this one will be easy.
This is why relationships matter. And frankly, all you got to do is look at this and say, hey, that can't possibly be good. That's not a good thing. And so we'll use our considerable legislative skills between Rhett Marcus and I to navigate this and get it done. But I feel really good about it. I think it's got a lot of support. It's got support from the left, the right, the middle. I'm excited about it. They had oysters and beignets at the press conference this morning. That was quite a combination at 10 o'clock. Well, everybody's on board.
Well played. Just quickly here before we wrap up, obviously session gets started and just short. Obviously budgets. Y'all got to do budgets, and we want this bill pushed through. Anything else that you think is going to be talked about a bunch going forward?
Gosh, I've got a bunch of other things that I'm working on, about 15 other pieces of legislation that I'm going to push that deal with everything from the High School Athletic Association to this mud dumping issue, to taxes, to trying to see if we could do occupational licensing a little bit better than we're doing right now. I've got bills that deal with some of the woke ideology that's still being pushed by some of our bureaucracy, and so we're working on a whole gamut of things from education to transportation and everything in between. It's a full plate, but I'm up for it and I'm ready to go. We start tomorrow.
Hey, this might not be a thing that would be good for a senator to do. I don't know, but like each year I do this, and tomorrow night, of course, the last State of the State for Governor Ivey. We here in the FM Talk 106.5 audience will be playing State of the State Bingo, where I get phrases that I think the governor will say, and you got to work on, you know, your squares. I got squares like hardworking Alabamians, safe Alabamians, jobs numbers, the little children in schools, the word folks in it. Do you want to get a square in this thing? You want to add something that you think might make it into the bingo for the State of the State address?
I feel like this is too easy, but the great state of Alabama.
The great, okay.
It'll be right there at the end with an arm in the air waving.
All right, y'all. So that's been added to our list as well by Senator Elliott. I appreciate it, man, and we'll be catching up here during session.
Thanks, buddy. Let's go fishing soon.
Okay, we will do that. State Senator Chris Elliott, our guest. And yes, session gets started, seems very early up in Montgomery. It'll be wrapped up in April. So, a lot to talk about here out of Goat Hill for the next couple months on FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so 126, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Also, I just think about this for the break again. Once again, Moon Pie Minutes get started on Friday, the whole way through the story of Mardi Gras, as my late friend Rennie Brabner called it. I used to say, we're doing this thing. It's the history of Mardi Gras. He said, Sean, it's the story of Mardi Gras, which has got some history and some other stuff in the mix as well. All right, let me grab, trying to catch up on some of these texts here. So you'll be able to watch State of the State several places like APTV, but if you go to, if you use YouTube, just go to YouTube and go to Capital Journal. That's with the O, like the capital, not capital, like capital investment, but Capital Journal, which is their channel on YouTube. That's Todd Stacey's show, but they're going to have a pregame at 5:30 talking about it. Then the governor's address 6 to probably 6:30, 6:45, and then they'll have a postgame and a Democrat response on there as well. All right, to the text line here, I think I'm right here. Jason says, I think this was our conversation last hour about this proposal from the president to cap interest rates on credit card balances at 10%. And Jason says, I think this is real temporary stimulus-style solution and at least makes the Dems side with the evil corporations they usually rail against. Yeah, but this is a Democrat kind of thing to do, telling businesses what to do. Randy said, Sean, I'm in agreement with you. We need government out of our lives as much as possible. Ronald Reagan would definitely not agree with this move. How about the government offer us a credit card with 10% interest on it? Then that would drive down the competitors. Now, Randy, I like that. I still don't think the government needs to be in the business of issuing credit cards, but I like your, if it wasn't the government, it was some other entity. I like the free market solution to that. Put a competition there. I mean, could you, if people could move their, I mean, they do that. The credit cards fight each other, right? They get people to move their balances and give them reduced interest rates or zero interest, right? Have another company. I don't know. I don't know that it's the job of government, but I would love some competitor to come in there and run it down. Phillips says, I agree with you about the government getting involved with the companies, like with credit cards. I do not like it. It gives us a slippery slope. I think the we ought to do a better job educating our young people on finances. 100% agree, Philip. And, you know, they do a little bit of that with the Senior Bowl coming up, but I've said that forever, too. When back then it was for graduating seniors going to the NFL, like with Senior Bowl, like you're going to get a bunch of money. Here's how you keep it. With NIL and all that stuff, it should be maybe if you're a college athlete where you're getting NIL, you probably need to take that as well. And then maybe that's good for the rest of the kids too, huh? Philip adds, educate them on how to do a budget, what a budget is for, and stuff like that. Also, it'd be nice if stores would bring back layaway. Yeah, I wonder, do any of them still do that?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Get that week started with a chat about some inventory, I'm sure. You had a lot coming in last week.
We did. We've got a lot of inventory that's flowed through here and still some more coming. So the selection is really good. I'll tell you one thing we've got on the ground is a 2014 F-150 FX4. Okay, so that's four-wheel drive, crew cab, silver truck, black leather guts. I think it's got a sunroof and everything, and it's loaded to the gills. Really pretty truck, wheels and tires. Average retail on this thing is $21,425, and we'll sell it for $18,000.
Okay, I didn't major in math at the University of Alabama, but that sounds like a hell of a deal.
It is. It's a great deal, and that's we got another FX2 that's just as screaming of a deal, and that one's only got 71,000 miles on it. So we got a couple of really nice trucks out here that were bought right, and we're just going to pass it on to the customer. Carfax are clean. You know, they don't have 12 owners. They ain't been sat in the mud, and they're not from up north. So if you want to come see us, we've got some really good deals on some trucks and cars right now.
Okay. Because coming and seeing you in person is the best, and we talk about that. But if they're saying, I want to see what David's talking about, tell them about the website.
Well, the website is lcmmotorcars.com. If you go on the website, you're going to see these trucks priced at NADA retail. Okay. So I'm telling you, that one can be bought for $18,000. It's going to be $5,000 more on the internet. You come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation Road. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or give us a call, 251-375-0068. Just ask for me. I'm here all day.
Good stuff, David. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good day. Thanks.
All right. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. And while we're doing the phone thing here, before we go to text, on the phone, it's our man Fireball. Fireball, good to hear from you.
How are y'all doing? Sean?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, it ain't nothing to it. Just like my paycheck.
Yeah, man. I hear you.
I want to give a shout out to Tobias Comer Law Firm. I heard about them on your radio station on 106.5, and I called them, and they did excellent job.
That's
really
great.
Helped me out real good.
I've gotten to know those folks as they come in here with Dalton and talk. Just a good bunch here, so they did you right.
Did me right, yes, sir. And real courteous, just as nice to people as you ever want to meet.
That is a great endorsement, Fireball. I'm happy about that, man. Good to hear.
That's right. Now my next subject, let's go deer hunting.
You got that right, and it's they're chasing big time right now, man. It's killing me to have to be at work and not in the tree stand.
Myself. Have a good one, Sean. Y'all hang in there. Y'all doing a fine job.
Thank you so very much, and good to hear about that, Fireball. Thank you, thank you. All right, leaves phone lines open at 343-0106. Yeah, I mean, y'all don't care, but the rut is wide open on my place. Let's see here. Let me get back to the list here. Think we're, yeah, nobody did. Does anybody do, because Philip was asking about layaway. I guess stores do that. I don't know if they still do that. Rock and Roll Doctor said the FDIC is the government. Got that right. Credit card companies use fractional reserve banking parameters set up by the FDIC, just like your local brick and mortar bank does. So I am all for stricter reserve requirements for credit card companies. And in order to avoid those stricter reserve standards, the credit card companies could avoid it if the rates to consumers are less than or 10% or less. Now, that's interesting. That's a Rock and Roll Doctor, well thought out. Instead of telling, if I'm understanding you correctly, instead of doing this thing that bothers me, my conservative sensibilities of telling directly the company they can't do this, or you're going to say, well, if you want this deal with FDIC, you know, if you want to still play that game and you want to avoid the stricter reserve standards, then you cap your rates at 10%. Rock and Roll Doctor, why are you not at the White House? Like, that's, there you go. You get the outcome you're talking about without letting the government say, this company can only make this much money. You got Mom Donnie in New York right now, at a rally telling folks, how much this person makes and that person makes in New York, and the people cheering against it. Like, so therefore, ergo, a move to cap what you can make in the city of New York. It's kind of like another version of that with the government telling the credit card. I don't like the credit card companies. And I agree, ripping people off and getting them in a perpetual, where they never pay off their debt and they're always paying interest. I don't like it either. It's just, I have a belief in what the government's here for. And it's to provide life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Is not to fix every problem. We've gotten into this mentality. It hadn't been recent. It's been happening. I think as Michael talked about something post-World War II, absolutely. Big change happened then, post-World War II. This idea that people are going to run on fixing specific problems. Instead of saying, I'm going to get these impediments out of your way, it's like, well, give me your problem and I'm going to find a government fix for that problem. Chris in Orange Beach, I'd like to add a statement to what the Democrats are saying about the officer shooting the woman in Minneapolis. He should have never been out in front of that car. Have you been in any parking lot in America in the last 10 years? Everyone walks out in front of cars. I call it the Walmart effect. Nobody looks both ways. They just walk out in front of cars. Chris, and you're in South Baldwin. Let me tell you, up here in the thriving metropolis of Mobile, we have the combination of Airport Boulevard here, I-65, and the service roads. The people that walk down, the service roads, maybe, the people coming across Airport remind me of the game, if you're old enough, you remember this video game, Frogger. It's like, I remember, and the frog usually got smashed or eaten by an alligator or something. The people come across Airport while traffic's coming, it makes me so nervous for them. I'm not even the person that's in harm's way, and I'm like, you need to not do that. And then, Chris, on the service roads here, especially the ones that parallel, the sections that parallel 65, there are, and some where it parallels Airport, the people that walk down the edge of the road with their nose buried in their phone, they're on the actual road, not up on the grass or where there's sidewalks. They're walking down the road and not look at, and just, it scares me so badly that, I mean, like, don't you know that just somebody just drifts over a little bit? And oh, my gosh. All right. Gene says, has anyone tested the mud and made sure it's safe to reuse? Okay. So that's a good question, Gene, about with the dredging. There is testing done, and there would be the way we've talked about it in the, with just the ideas around this, and with people like the folks at Mobile Baykeeper and all that, that you would test it and decide what mud would be used which way. And what Gene's talking about is, do you have aggregation of pollutants in the channel? One nice thing is, Gene, is the channel has been dredged for all those years. So, and I would argue then, if it is polluted, we sure as heck don't want it to be thin layer displaced into the bay. But one fact is they've been dredging it so much, it has not had the chance to aggregate. Some of my questions that I Lord knows, I don't want to do anything to slow the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project down any more than it already is. But you start putting new pilings and construction in places like the foot of Polecat Bay. I mean, you understand that the years of sediment before we had just the regulations we have now that exist in a place like Polecat, from the Alcoa tailings pond to all those things, they're going to stir up some nasties in there. But yeah, Gene, there has been discussion of testing mud for different uses. And I like the idea that was brought up. And like I said, I started getting a heads up about what we're talking about now 5 years ago when they were discussing projected, I guess the best way, and Senator Elliott called it, you know, the Gilliard Island, right? But it's not, what they're proposing is not exactly like Gilliard, because Gilliard's like a ring of land and riprap, right? And then you put the dredge in the middle and it's not accessible, like there's not a tidal flow in and out. What they're proposing is a wetlands complex that would be more connected to the bay with the dredge spoil, because you get marsh grasses, all that grows in there, the water goes in, gets filtered, comes out, becomes a nursery for shrimp and crabs and fish and all that. I love that idea. Great way of great beneficial use for the dredge. I just want, my only beef with it is where the original proposal, and I don't know if this document even exists anymore because it was probably 5 years ago. I want that wetlands complex to be moved south of where they were talking about, because there's no reason to put it where we already have down on the Tensaw Bar in given years. It depends if we're in a drought or we're in a wet year. We have grasses already growing. I would move it further south to where it's deep enough and with turbidity, you don't have anything going on and you add to it versus just covering up what's already kind of trying to work. B-Dark says, Sean, I done said they needed to take the mud from the bay and make compost. Yeah, I wonder how it would molder down. And thanks for the reminder, B-Dark. I need to go turn compost at my house when I get home. King of all unnamed texters said another square for the bingo card for tomorrow night's State of the State address from Governor Ivey. Strong bipartisan efforts, or efforts, as the governor would say. The strong bipartisan efforts. Yes, what do we have now? So let's add that to the list. Let's go back and rework. I got to write this down. I don't type very fast. All right, there we go. So we have for the bingo card right now, for the State of the State address, I threw in, before I even asked y'all, hardworking Alabamians, because it's a perennial with the governor. The school children, or some combination of the school children. The children going to school, the little children in school, something like that. Jobs numbers will be in there. Todd Stacy added in y'all or folks. Now, I think y'all, y'all is like the most efficient way to talk about every person, right? Or a group of people. I mean, y'all, it's why, I mean, I've heard it used elsewhere in the country. I'm like, good for you. You picked up on the efficient. And I would say, you know, to woke people, y'all is great because it doesn't matter gender. It's not gender specific. So I don't know that I'm going to have that as a straight, like, because I use it all the time. So I don't know if that's going to be, but folks that Todd suggested, that's a Governor Ivey thing. Folks. So you can talk about the folks. Another suggestion for the text line, safe Alabamians or safety for Alabamians. I think that's right. Senator Elliott added in the great state of Alabama. She'll probably hit that one. And then the latest there from King of all unnamed texters, these strong bipartisan efforts. You can add your square to the bingo card for tomorrow night. Once again, the State of the State address, the last for Governor Ivey. That will be tomorrow night starting at 6. And so we're just trying to find a way as a group here that we can watch it and score along with it. So if you want to, yeah, if you want to, okay, this is a pretty good suggestion too from unnamed texter. God and guns in the same sentence on the bingo card. Okay, cut and paste that one in. Thank you, unnamed texter. Jim saying, all y'all's group of people, y'all is singular. No. If there's five of y'all over there and I say, y'all come bring me a beer, I don't mean just one of you, right? It's okay. Come on, but get it straight. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. 251-343-0106 gets you through on a call or a text. And while we're talking about that, too, remember, check out our Facebook page, Leanna, with awesome updates 7 days a week on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Find me and the station kind of combined into one on Twitter or X at FMTalk1065 over there. All right, to the text line, let's add some more here. Let's see. Thank you, Joshua. That's funny. Michael. And by the way, so people are sending me links here. Usually I can get to those the next day. I don't have a lot of time to watch things. Follow them on there. But I appreciate them. Michael says, also, I bet you that all the people saying they Okay, wait. I got to go back. Sorry. Said, I'm telling you factually that if you want to return to more closely to what the Founding Fathers wanted, then you should agree on limits to the practice of usury. But I agree that that will never happen because that segment of society is too powerful, whether on Wall Street or in Tel Aviv. Also, I would bet you that all of the people saying they disagree with it would be in the same breath saying we need to return to what our founders intended and we need to return to Christian roots while not knowing that the practice was illegal in America and every Christian nation up to the 1900s. Also, there were, I would add, Michael, there were things that were legal in Christian countries that would be abhorrent now, right? So just because it was a thing for 2,000 years doesn't mean, you know, that's the only reason it still should be there. I mean, and it would it only be on interest in that you believe the government should get in? What about other parts? I mean, I understand history, Michael. You know, I do read on occasion. So I'm with you. I understand things you're saying are factual. At the same time, in our republic, do we want an additional beachhead of a place for government to be telling business what to do? Paul, said, well, this is breaking news, said, I stopped seeing bucks a week ago at the feed spots. Maybe the rut is going on. Oh, I don't know where you are, but it is. Let's see. Billy D. says, I listened to a guy who did a report on the fact that Hurricane Frederick was responsible for emptying the Bay of water and along with it took a whole bunch of methylmercury out of the bay and dumped it offshore. They actually have a spot out there where they randomly test for mercury because of how much got washed out there. And Frederick, I wasn't standing there to see it, but as a kid, of course, the stories were always about how the Frederick and the Bay emptied out. Dr. Bill talks about that a good bit. A good bit. When he and I get together, we talk about that. So, also says he wants to put in a square here for the State of the State bingo. That the word mama will come up somewhere. That Governor Ivey will say mama. So that's the square mama in the mix here. All right. Oh, by the way, the unnamed texter earlier adding to the bingo card is now giving themselves a name. I love this. This is what I'm asking y'all in 2026 now. If you are an unnamed texter, give yourself a name, nickname, or whatever. Voice of Reason. So the Voice of Reason says God and guns in the same sentence on the bingo card. Ashley from Loosedale says, I think Governor Ivey will say, God bless Alabama, and then, whoa, Eagle. Probably. Avid says, going with High Step Up. Yeah, that's High Step Up was on. Somebody added that early on, and I forgot that. The High Stepper will make it onto the list. I think she will. I mean, you got to go out. You got to go out with your greatest hits, right? I mean, she's known for High Stepper, and so I think, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, you go see the band, and they you keep saying they haven't played that song. They hadn't played that song. Eventually, they're going to play that song, right? For the their big hit. So the last one for Ivy. And I wonder, too, we'll talk about this maybe after listening to the State of the State, so maybe on Wednesday's show. What is the what's the legacy? What is, like, if you go back and you had to encapsulate Governor Ivy's terms as governor, what is the legacy? Okay, what's the brand? If you had to give it an emoji, what emoji would you choose for the governor's legacy on that? Yeah, Motorman said, yeah, a couple of people said West Alabama Corridor. Motorman just said it. I don't know. So that one's interesting. And let's see if that comes up, because while the governor, it just depends on how she sees the world. Motorman and others suggested it. Maybe in her mind, it is this great thing. And, you know, in places in our state where FM Talk 106.5 is not on their broadcast dial, people may hear that and not understand all the issues with the West Alabama Corridor and the funding and how much of the ALDOT funding going forward it takes. So they may say, yeah, that'd be great. Get to the game faster, get to the hunting camp faster, get lumber to the mills faster, but they won't know about the details. So either she's going to show us that she believes everybody's on board and talk about it, Motorman, or she's going to realize there's dissent from people like my guest earlier this hour, Senator Elliott, and she's going to keep quiet about it. Well, we'll score it tomorrow night. But we'll talk about it more tomorrow on this very show, Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Y'all have a great one.